Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Great.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
All good.
Ready to talk about games and stuff?
Yeah.
Loads. Mm-hmm. Loads of them.
Yeah. You played all of them?
Yeah.
All the games.
While we've been away?
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Looking forward to tomorrow, at the time of recording.
You mean the summer party?
The summer party, yeah.
Yes, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Should we tell what we're doing for the summer party?
Probably should, yes.
Should we?
Because this will go out on Saturday when we're still...
Where are we going?
Two members of Cultaholic have already doxed exactly our location.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Which is brilliant.
Okay,
it's so good. On live streams, I think.
I won't say where we're going.
Don't say where we're going, but you can say what we're... The sort of vague plan. Right? The vague plan?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Triple Jump and Cultaholic are getting on a minibus and going somewhere nearby to a caravan park place. You know, like a static caravan, holiday park kind of vibe. We've got like, what, three or four caravans?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do some activities tomorrow, some team building activities.
Yes.
You guys are doing an escape room.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for some reason, and I still don't know why, but I'm just going with it. I signed up to do foot golf.
Yeah, I just learned this like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, why? I don't know why. I don't know.
You love escape rooms.
I do love escape rooms.
Are you just worried that the more you do, the more likely you are to lose your streak?
Too many people on, like, that had already signed up for it. And I thought maybe, like, there won't be enough room for me because it was escape room. I didn't realize that there was two rooms.
Yeah.
So there was already like 10 people signed up. So I was like, well, that seems like too many people. So I was like, well, I'll just do the other thing. And I get to be outside. I actually wanted to do mini golf, but no one else wanted to do mini golf, so I guess I'm doing foot golf instead.
You could have swapped,
but I signed up for it.
I was tempted, you know,
live, love, love.
I was tempted by mini golf, but I think the fact that at one point we were talking about like crazy golf with like windmills and flip, and then it was downgraded to still mini golf, but just the ones
just holes and shapes, rather than obstacles. 18 holes of foot golf. But I think we've all collectively agreed we will not be doing all 18 holes.
No, because there's too many of you to do 18 holes.
Have you played foot golf before?
No, and I also haven't kicked a ball since before I broke my leg.
And you've got bad legs.
Your leg is not going to be ideal.
I'm right leg dominant and also broke my right leg. So
brilliant. So you're either going to be amazing at it
or
it's
I won't be
agony.
Able to walk the next day.
Yeah. Well, you've got metal in there, so I think that will give you an advantage.
My friend said it's kind of like I've already got a putter because it's like made of metal.
Yeah.
And then we're doing barbecue and having some drinkies.
Yes.
We may have had some drinkies before the
foot golf, maybe during the foot golf as well.
And then some of us, maybe food poisoning. And then some of us, but not Peter, because Peter's got important things like planning a wedding to do, are staying in a caravan with other members of the team. And then I don't know what we're doing on Saturday, but
probably more drinking.
I'm like 50-50, like really sad that I'm missing that because that'll be wacky and fun. But also
zany.
But half of me is like, I'm glad that there's not just like seven of us in a hot caravan or sleeping
together. Oh, yeah, it's going to be unbearable.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that there'll be some kind of air conditioning or fan.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But who knows? There might not be, and it might be terrible. The good news is that we're not a million miles away from where we live.
Mm.
So if it's, I nearly swore, if it's awful, we can just
go home.
I really want to do the Adam Pacitti's really excited about doing the like summer camp activities.
He really wants to go and see the entertainment on a Friday night.
Oh yeah, because it's a proper summer camp. That's a very Adam Pacitti thing to do. He loves bingo.
There's definitely going to be bingo. I'll go to the arcade.
He wants to go to the Penny Arcade as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, if you see lots of photos from shenanigans, you'll now know why.
If you've been listening to Cultaholic, I guess you'll know where as well.
You'll know exactly where and when and how.
Fantastic.
So there we are. But we're not sponsored by a certain caravan park that may or may not exist in the near vicinity.
Yeah.
We're brought to you each and every week by a wonderful sponsor that allows us to keep the lights on and do this podcast for you. It's Video Game Adjacent. Peter's got the ad read in front of him, and he's going to read it from in front of him, out of his mouth, and into your ear holes. Here he goes.
It's been a bit of a longer wait for us here in the UK and Europe and Australia and New Zealand and some other regions. Mm. But at time of recording, today, on Thursday, PlayStation have finally rolled out their new online service for those of us in those regions. Don't know if you know much about it.
No,
but it's
sort
of it's mainly just Among Us content. Just Among Us.
Us.
It's just Among Us. So sign up now if you're in any of those regions to PS Sus.
I was wondering how Sus was going to fit into Extra. And how's he going to do this?
No,
how's
just
he possibly going to do this? PS Sus, of course.
Yeah.
And the other two is PS Sus Vent.
Yeah.
Venti, yeah.
And the top tier is PS Sussy, right?
Yeah.
PS Plussy.
See, look, you're laughing at his Ussy jokes again and not mine.
No.
This is disgraceful.
Fortunately, it's not real, any of that.
Really?
Even PS Ashton's Plus laughter wasn't real, don't worry.
Okay,
I'm a really good actor.
You are. I know
qualified.
You are. Qualified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Qualified.
Yeah.
Have you had a look at the tiers yet? Because it has launched as of the time of recording.
Yeah, well, I haven't.
Did you go in and have a look?
I've not gone in.
I just assumed that we already knew most of the details, right?
I just wanted to see if they're... Because the US got Resident Evil as well, in addition to what launched in Asia a little while ago.
Did Toy Story 2 actually make it? I know that it was
Toy Story 2
about.
Did, and it that's did. Exactly what I was about to talk about, actually, because it showed up as free for me, even though I'm still on the basic tier. And it turns out it's because I bought it previously.
Oh, right.
So the system does actually work. It was the only game in their classics library that that was free for me.
Okay.
The rest of them are priced all over the place from like $2.99 up to a tenner.
Right.
So,
but
at
then
that
if you
point,
actually get the tier, they're all free too.
They're all part of the subscription anyway. So I'm downloading that. Won't play it. Didn't play it when I bought it previously.
Didn't know you'd bought it necessarily.
But I've got it. So it's worth, even if you're not going to up your subscription, maybe just having a browse through, see if you own anything.
I forgot it came out today. I was like, I got an email the other day being like, just so you know, you haven't upgraded your tier, Ashton. Do you know that you're still on the basic tier? And
you
I was
loser.
Like,
upgrade,
yes,
idiot.
I do know that, and I won't be moving very much.
No.
But I forgot that it was today, because I know that we're the last ones to get it.
Yes.
So... I forgot about it. Yeah. I'll have to check when we finish the podcast.
Let us know if you have got it already or if you plan to get it in the comments below. But we are not sponsored by PS Sus. We are, of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/ Team Triple Jump, where for as little as $1 per month, you could submit questions to this podcast. There are loads of other tiers available, loads of other rewards. Please do consider going to support us. As soon as we finish recording this, we're going to record next week's After Dark podcast, which is a Patreon-exclusive bonus podcast that's all about everything not to do with games. So if you want to get involved in that, patreon.com/teamtriplejump.
I should also say, if you are an After Dark level subscriber, Patreon thing, then you will get another set of questions next Monday because Ben's going on holiday plops.
We're bunching up a lot of recordings due to various leavages going on over the summer. Mm. So keep an eye out. You will see more than the usual amount of posts in quick succession.
Yes.
Right. Speaking of questions that people can submit, what we got?
One from His Holiness Pope McGee.
Pope Maggie.
Amen.
Who says, Orit... Ben and Ashton and Peter, that's all one word. Mm. Ben and Ashton and Peter. Just finished my first playthrough of The Quarry, and it was super splendid nice. Got me thinking, which existing IPs, if any, would you like to see get the supermassive treatment? I'm thinking Stranger Things or something. Cheers, dears. I like that it says, if any, in parentheses, because all three of us could say, none.
And
then just
like
move
any.
On to question two.
Well, this is the first issue, isn't it? Is that supermassive aren't... what are they called? Telltale. They don't make licensed games.
No.
So this entire scenario, Pope McGee, It's not gonna happen, is it?
No.
You crazy, crazy Pope.
But maybe we could whatever IPs we've got written down, it could be like a sort of it's either what if they did, what if they could get the license, or they could just do their own sort of fake.
Ooh.
Oh, it's done the thing again. It's like a regular occurrence now.
It happens on the Cultaholic podcast as well, if it makes you feel any better.
Those of you watching will know what's happening. Those of you listening won't see the video fail we've got going on. We've looked worse in freeze frames in the past. I mean, I look a bit excited, but...
Do you have to deactivate it and react to it?
I am a bit excited, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have to do it on here as well.
No one next yet. The sources.
Oh, yeah.
Sources.
Can I just do it like that? Or
no.
Click on it.
Yeah.
Hey!
Hey, we're back in.
We're in.
I'm not going to edit that out. We're not going to stop or anything. Going to carry on.
No, that's fine.
So, yeah, we can either just fantasize about them gaining these IPs, or maybe they do a we have this IP at home kind of version.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Like a bargain
weirder
bucket.
Stuff.
Yeah, a bargain bucket version. Yeah, exactly.
Like
weirder.
The Bee film that's like the Bee movie, but even worse.
The Wasp film.
So I've got one that I quite often bring along to questions like this. I'd quite like to see a Jurassic Park.
I've written that down too.
Oh, nice. I'd Jurassic like to see a Jurassic Park by Supermassive because the Telltale one was a bit rubbish. And also, I mean, I even thought this ties in. I've not watched this, but I'm aware that there's the animated show Camp Cretaceous, which is... it's like a kind of a young adult. I don't know what the target audience is. Maybe like 8 to 13 or something like that. Mm. Where
young adult.
Yeah. Where kids are at Jurassic Park at Camp Cretaceous, or they're at Jurassic World.
Okay.
Once it's like, you know, taken off. And then I think when the incident goes down from the first Jurassic World movie, they get left there on the island.
Oh no.
So they're all like trying to survive.
That's pretty quarry.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like kids in a kind of survival situation, but I imagine Camp Cretaceous being an animated show for 10-year-olds, young adults.
Young adults,
I suspect that it's, you know, relatively tame. There's probably some scary bits in it, but it's like still okay. Whereas if Supermassive got hold of Jurassic Park, they could have kids stuck at Jurassic World with no grown-ups, dinosaurs on the loose, and... people having their arms pulled off.
Yeah.
And they could do like jump scares and weird stuff. You could get you could ask the estate of Richard Attenborough if you could use him for Uncle Anal Hill.
Yes.
Dr.
Yeah.
Anal Hill. He don't know where Uncle came from. Yeah.
You've found some of my clues.
Ooh. That would be great. I want to see the reanimated face of Richard Attenborough being Dr. Anal Hill.
Played by Troy Baker.
Yes.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. You ever wanted to see, was it Richard? Richard Attenborough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to see Richard Attenborough hawk NFTs?
Yeah.
Well, now's your chance.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
This is the moment to do it.
Do it, Supermassive.
Just
or,
do it.
Like I say, just do a Jurassic Park ripoff, Dinosaur World. Just do that instead. Mm. Ashton.
I also wrote down Jurassic Park because the original Jurassic Park movie is spooky.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in like the lab or the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I watched it one time. And
with the kids being
with the
hunted,
kids, and then the like raptors are like sniffing around. That's pretty spooky. But also I thought like if we're going for like the kind of spooky, ominous horror vibe that like Supermassive really like, the film Alien/Aliens is one of the best kind of like ominous something's coming, what is it, we don't know yet kind of vibes. Stranger Things is a really good shout, but also a bit of a curveball here given like the content of the show. I really think Umbrella Academy could work because of like the cast of kooky kids that are the Umbrella Academy, and the fact that they have powers could like add a whole new level of like decision making.
You're probably more interested in the characters at that
point.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're not all just basically the same character.
Exactly. Yeah, like obviously because we've got Vanya, who I don't actually know that his new name. It might still be Vanya. I'm not sure. And obviously he's got the ability to control sound, and then you've got other characters like Luther's massive and strong, and he can beat the crap out of. You know, maybe a crossover. It's Aliens, but with the cast of the Umbrella Academy. So he's beating the crap out of the Xenomorph, who's coming for them. So I think that, like, those could work really well for, like, the cast of kooky kids or the ominous, like, what's coming? Mm-hmm. What's that in the vents? Because Alien Isolation is terrifying. So I think that something along those lines would work really well.
Like it.
For a supermassive game.
Okay. Yeah, for a supermassive game, you really do need the horror setting, don't you? The spookiness. So as nice as Stranger Things would be, I don't think it would work because they wouldn't be allowed to use the kids for a start. And if they were, you wouldn't be able to sort of kill them off in horrifying ways.
That's
just not going to happen. So if Supermassive ever did have to do license work or just took on a license, it would be probably frustratingly limited in what it could do. Mm. And it probably wouldn't be nearly as unhinged as the stuff that we have been getting.
Yeah.
With people being torn apart and suddenly it would be dying like- and stuff like that.
A B cast of Stranger Things, like, yeah, you remember the film in the show where like this is happening? Well, these people were also doing something, but they were just doing something just over to the left.
You get to play as the police officer.
You'd need like another group of characters.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So that would be my main concern there. If they were allowed to do something like that, though, is it too soon to talk Doctor Strange spoilers? Probably. But let's just
say that
it's directed by Sam Raimi, who is known for The Evil Dead and sort of weird horror
stuff.
That's
a good shout.
And it goes to some pretty unexpected horror places that are, I think, completely out of place.
Oh, yeah, didn't people complain? Like parents were complaining that it was...
Oh, I'm sure they did.
100%,
It was really messed up in a lot of ways.
There was a couple of moments where like I was like... What? This isn't a Marvel film.
Yeah, like some really spooky stuff.
I saw
like
some headlines.
The antagonist being able to use reflections of puddles to like get into the room and escape. Like real horror movie stuff, like really messed up. So I feel like the premise of Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness would be a good thing. And also the fact that we just see a lot of characters die in really upsetting visceral ways.
That also does happen.
I feel like that would also work. But that's purely, I think, thematically in line with Supermassive. I don't know how it would translate to an actual game. But that was one that popped to mind. I still think that it's really sad that the Telltale Stranger Things game was cancelled because I think that would have made for a really good Telltale game, one where they don't have to kill off characters all the time.
Yeah. You
know? which is Supermassive's MO.
I guess the good thing with, I mean, not that I really know that much, but I guess the thing with Multiverse of Madness is that you could presumably have multiverse characters come in and just kill them off and not worry about that.
Yeah. Precisely, yeah. So they could, it doesn't have to be MCU adjacent. They could tell a story in its own pocket universe or whatever and just kill everything or what have you. You know, the zombie version. The what if, there was a what if... Where they were all zombies, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
And the zombies had their powers. So you had like a flying zombie that was like coming for you.
Yeah. Or a zombie Captain America and stuff. Mm. So there's lots of stuff they could do. So maybe something like that.
Maybe
something like that. It's time for a section that we've never done before.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Ashton?
Yeah. Well, we didn't do it. Like, we were going to start it last week, but then we had to talk about not E3. So we thought, well, let's just kick it off this week. Okay. It's called... What We Playin'.
It's time for What We Playin'. It's What We Playin' time. Peter, what have you been playing?
I've continued to play some KO the Kangaroo, both on stream but also a little bit at home. Just really, still really trying to like that game.
Why are you playing it?
Because I can see how much they've tried and that they wanted it to be good. And it's not
okay.
It's not good. It's not bad. It isn't. I've come to the conclusion that it's not bad, but it's not good. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to play it to the end on stream now. I've done, I think, 3 sessions of it. I'm going to just carry on and we're going to do it. I'm going to see where it ends. I'm going to see if they leave it open for KO 2, round 2. That would be good, wouldn't it? Maybe if they just spent a bit more time on the sequel, it might come out a bit better. I also played a tiny bit last night. I mean, like literally about 45 minutes before I was kind of I was already tired before I started playing, so this isn't a reflection on the game. But I played a bit of Sonic Origins last night. We got a code through. We'll have done a quip scope, I'm sure, because James Jenkins, I think, has actually played a bit more than me and probably knows a bit more than me than about Sonic. But played some of that. I've always wanted to go back and just play the retro Sonic games. I had one of them on PC when I was a kid. I don't know which one it was. But I used to, it was like a demo of it, and I used to really enjoy playing it. I think it was just Green Hill Zone, like over and over and over again. but they're a lot of fun, those games. And I'm like, yeah, this is, I'm glad that I finally, I'm just sitting down, I'm having a go, and I'm going to try and, you know, probably play through them all, play through the whole thing.
So look out for that Quipscope, and also every Sonic video game ranked from worst to best is coming.
It's coming.
Mm.
It's big old boy, and we'll hopefully have it done in the next few weeks.
Yes.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, so keep an eye out. You may have seen a little teaser on YouTube, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, he coming.
He coming.
And he's so fast.
Ashton, what have you been playing?
I have been playing some Trials of Midgard, which came out a little while ago. It was a PS Plus game like a couple of months ago. It's like a Viking, Ragnarok, Valhalla theme thing. It's kind of like like Valheim, but a completely different art style. Like, and you've got these big like gods that are coming in, and you've got this tiny camp that you're trying to reinforce to protect the world tree, and these gods kind of keep coming, and after a couple of days another one will come and they try to kill you.
So it's a kind of survival game.
Yeah, but it's a multiplayer, so you can play it with up to like 10 people, mm-hmm. and you can play it online. But me and MB were playing it, and we'd never made it past the third god because they just kept killing our tree,
which
was
a bit
sad.
Oh,
no. And it's, you just have to basically, if they kill your tree, you just have to start again with nothing. So mm-hmm. you go back from like having reinforced walls and archer towers and like really nice armor to being like, well, now I have a stick and I am naked again. So that was fun. I played a bit of that. And I finished the story of Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Congratulations.
And I still think that this game could have been really good. And I think that it is good. It's a good game. And I know that certain people get really annoyed that every week I have something negative to say about it. But I will say that I enjoyed playing the game. I thought the gameplay was good. There's definitely still some issues with it in terms of like what it was going for, what it was trying to do, and whether it really hit those marks. There was one voice line, and this will tell you a bit telling, really, that made me laugh. And I remember being like, that made me laugh. And then that was it.
I mean, that's the only thing
I was
that made
like,
you laugh.
I remember just like laughing at a voice line and being like, wow, that made me laugh.
Wow.
And
I was like, in a game with so much dialogue.
I was like, why did that stand out to me? but I finished it. I kind of didn't see where the story was going. I thought it was going to be a bit more interesting than it was. I still don't think it really made sense. But I suppose it's a D&D game, so things can change and adjust, and, you know, it's not real. We haven't tried any of the end game content yet, the, like, chaos chambers, but we will go back and give those a go, I think.
I've heard they're quite tough.
Yes, me too.
But there are trophies associated, so, you know, get on with it.
Three trophies associated with the chaos chamber that we need to get.
Great, love that.
So yeah, I finished that. I'll probably go back to do the Chaos Chambers. I'm still waiting for some decent DLC for it. I think the mirror thing that they've got going on, the fourth one's coming out some point this year with a new class, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
but
they dropped a new class recently, like this week, I think.
They haven't put it in the game yet.
Oh.
It's coming with the fourth like DLC.
I thought it was just out. It's just come out.
No, I still think the DLC is like a weird choice, but you know,
yeah, give us that single player story content.
Yeah,
well, not single player, but you know what I mean.
And then I have also been playing some more Cyberpunk. I haven't finished the story yet. I'm on like the final mission of the story, and I've just been mopping up everything else. But there is these like boxing rings that you have to do in all the areas in the game, and I hate them. I can't do them. I've managed to do one out of like the four or five I've tried. I just keep getting my ass beat because I've not put any points into melee combat because I've not used melee combat for the entire game. So now I haven't got any bloody points in punching, and everyone keeps kicking
bloody
my
points
ass.
She?
So, but once they're done, I'll finally do the last mission and finish the game. But I've been really enjoying it. I just don't like these boxing ring things. And I'm annoyed I saved it till last because now it's sullying my experience.
Oh.
But once Cyberpunk is done, I'm going to play some more Final Fantasy VII and finish it. So
wow.
Hopefully, maybe next week, I'll play some more Final Fantasy.
You're burning through the games there.
Sure
the
are.
James.
Yeah, I am catching up on all the ones I have not been able to play in the last couple of months. So. Mm.
See, that was my intention as well, was to just play catch up while it's kind of quiet.
Mm. Yeah.
But I have been so busy that I have barely... I started Final Fantasy VII a month ago, and I finished it last night.
Right.
Fine. It took me that long. I was away all weekend pretty much, and I've had very little time this week. So I just haven't really been able to play anything, which sucks because there's so many things that I keep downloading and that I need to play and I don't have time. I don't have time for them. I do want to talk about WWE 2K22 actually, because while I am streaming that, I did play it a fair bit this week at home when I did have time, and it was just admin. I was just doing admin. So obviously I'm playing as Barbara in the career mode. And they had a fun little bug that they introduced with a recent patch where all of the tattoos just went
right.
On custom characters, just were gone, including custom images on clothing. All of it just vanished.
Good.
And when I would wrestle, there'd be a tiny little strange sort of black triangle shape thing on a corner of her trunks. And I'm guessing that that is all of her tattoos just condensed to that one tiny fixed point on her body. That's the, because there's no reason for that mark to be there on her clothing. It doesn't make sense. So at home, I painstakingly reapplied all of her tattoos. Then I wanted to change something, went back in. They were all gone again. So I reapplied them all. I should have realized that every time I go into it, it wipes it, because then I needed to go back in to change something else and they were all gone again. So I had to reapply these tattoos three times and now I can never go into that character editor
again. They stay if you apply them and then go and play the game.
Yeah.
But if you go back in,
they're gone.
It then removes them.
So it's clear that 2K22 just worked. In fact, the tagline is it hits different. It hits different.
Yeah.
2K22.
Hits you right in the face.
It's broken in a different way.
Yeah.
What's frustrating is that it's not everyone that's having this problem, but I'm one of the people who are affected and they're apparently not patching it until the end of the month. So I did two streams without tattoos and it was weird. So then I've just spent most of my free time playing games this week, reapplying these bloody tattoos. So, you know, that's good. Final Fantasy VII Remake, though, still really enjoyed that. Glad to have finished it now so I can actually play what I was intending to play when I started it, which was the DLC that came out where you play as Yuffie. So that obviously won't be as long as the full game, but that is what I will be starting next and I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
Good.
Well, that's what I've been playing.
Let's have a question to them. This comes from Jess Macker1. We have condensed this question a bit because it was a long question.
Yes, so try to keep your questions short if you can.
Just shorten it, just a smidge.
As you can get from the context of this question, Jess was not happy.
The point's still there.
That's directed at everyone, not Jess.
Jess specifically, yes. Answers on a postcard if you can.
Hi, Bap. If you didn't know, Sega held its Sonic Central conference a couple of weeks ago. It may well be the single worst gaming conference I've ever seen. They managed to showcase a grand total of two new games, and one of those games was Sonic Origins, a collection of old Sonic games, because, apparently, we really need to see a trailer for Sonic 1. Hmm. Following this, my question is, what is the least essential showcase you've ever seen a gaming company put on? Not the worst or the most hashtag cringe to watch, but the ones that simply had nothing to offer. Nothing on offer to show. Love your content and recently became a patron to show my support. Thank you so much, Jess. Keep up the great work. Hugs and kiss from Jess.
Thank you so much.
I struggled with this question because I don't necessarily remember conferences as a whole. I'll watch them, we'll cover them like that day or that week, and then I'll remember trailers of things, but not like what the whole package was. So I was racking my brains, like, is there one that I thought was like a standout bad one? I was trying to like Google stuff, like bad conferences, and all it would show is either like hashtag cringe stuff or ones that went wrong, you know, like tech issues and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. But it's kind of a related answer. It's not that it's hashtag cringe and it's not that it's bad, but to use Jess's words, something that, I mean, nothing on offer is kind of the phrase I latched onto here. Mm. And for me, it's Devolver Digital's in between trailer sketch stuff,
okay,
right, which some people really love.
Scandalous. That's that is a hot take.
This is a hot take. Some people really love it, and they say that's like the they're the best conferences of any given year or not E3. But for me, I'm just like, it's almost like, it's not that I actively really dislike them, but I'm almost in my head trying to do Devolver Digital a favor by saying, don't waste your time and money. Because the budget, especially this year, was like up there. Mm. And you can see that like people have really sat down and put in loads of time and effort and money to make these like skits. And I'm like, I don't think you're probably getting a return from that. I don't think that it's necessarily attracting people to the conference who wouldn't ordinarily have watched it in the first place anyway.
Mm.
And so for me, it's just like, ultimately, people's decisions to buy your games are going to come down to whether the trailers are good and whether the game concept is interesting and what the price point is and all those kind of reasons, which apply to any other publisher or developer. And so I look at the effort that goes into those skits, and to me, I think that has nothing to offer me. I'm basically here for trailers. I'm not in the YouTube chat going skip, 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 but I...
Cringe.
Yeah, cringe. Hashtag cringe. But I'm just like, I am just here for trailers, and like, you're welcome to do what you want, but I kind of feel like the resources and the time that must go into those skits, especially, you know, the most recent one, I just think, I don't think they get anything out of actually doing that personally, other than people saying, those are fun, which is fine, but that is a hot take though. I know that you guys won't agree with that, but.
So each and every year, you're going to be watching with a cynical eye to see what Devolver Digital does next.
A little bit.
They tone it. But the thing is, they're on a trajectory where they...
Well, that's the other thing.
Where they cannot...
I don't know what
they can't back down. Themselves. They want up themselves now.
Yeah, they have to... They're so up themselves.
But also,
yeah.
You still watch it because you're like, what are they going to do next? So you still end up going...
Well, I didn't actually watch it this year.
I
caught up afterwards.
I watched it afterwards.
But yeah, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to watch them this year. Maybe I'm wrong that it doesn't... Maybe it does attract people to the conference.
I think you're right in that people perhaps increasingly are tuning in to see what they do rather than see the games, which is the whole point. So
tuning in to see what they're doing, and then by proxy you are watching the games as well.
That is true, and that's their whole goal. But I think the weirder and wackier they get, they'll have more of an audience of people who want to see their crazy skit.
And it overshadows
than see
the
their,
games.
Exactly, yeah. They're just going to increasingly potentially eclipse the games. That's a very sort of cynical viewpoint, obviously, but that's a very real criticism. Mm. Like, that's a very valid criticism of what they're doing. What are they going to do next year?
Yeah, I don't know.
And what games could possibly outshine it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say no one came away from Devolver talking about the games.
Well, the Plucky Squire was from Devolver.
That's true, exactly. So that point is bollocks.
Yeah.
But increasingly...
Sorry, it's a dangerous that's game. Bollocks.
So, excuse me, that's bollocks. but, you know, the crazier they get, the more people are going to come away talking about what they just saw rather than the games that they were showing.
Hopefully you two have a proper answer where you're talking about conferences that actually had very little to
I do it, and you'll know it as
well. I also do have one as well. So I, as soon as I read this question, I had one in my mind as one that I watched, and I went, why is this happening? Why am I watching this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you will remember it as soon as I say. The E3 2021 Gearbox presentation. Randy wandering around a film set, bothering people for 9 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And then followed by four games that we'd already seen at Summer Games Fest and other places that we already knew were coming, with no new content, just the same trailer. I remember just watching
Randy, leave them alone.
Around bothering people. Like, he didn't tell anyone who was going to be there. He hadn't prepared who he was going to speak to.
I'm executive producer of this movie, Randy Pitchford.
It's me, Randy Pitchford. What do you like to eat with your toast? What are you talking about, Randy?
If they were shooting it a year ago, where's this movie?
Yeah, should be.
I know the post-production takes a long time, but it should be really soon.
Pretty
soon,
I
haven't heard anything.
I just remember watching it and just being like, why am I watching this?
What's he doing?
Because it was like one of the like later ones at night as well. I think it was like after one of the decent shows. And I was watching it and I was being like, why am I sat here? I'm exhausted. Yeah. I just want to go to bed. And I'm like, wonder if they're going to announce anything interesting. They just talked about Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Trials of Midgard. Or was it Tribes of Midgard? I think they said Trials over. Tribes of Midgard. Godfall.
Godfall.
Oh, yeah.
Which no one played.
God awful.
God awful. And then one other game that clearly didn't stick around my brain that much because I can't remember it. I think it was a Borderlands 3 expansion. But I was just like, why is this happening? It's not important and no one cares.
You could say that about even like the Gearbox shows that matter. Like, why is Randy on stage doing card tricks? You know,
yeah.
When that show ultimately mattered because that was when they like first showed off
Borderlands 3.
After they got VLC. Well, they didn't get VLC after they struggled through Windows Movie.
That's the one, isn't it? Because that's not the one I was going to mention, but that reminds me, the Borderlands 3 announcement event.
Mm.
Gearbox, I think, should never do streams.
They should not.
But
and
that
if they
was
do, just
so
keep Randy at like arm's length.
Uncomfortable. None of the trailers were working.
Yeah.
They announced and showed the Borderlands 1 game of the year for PS4, which was the remaster, and then they announced Borderlands 3 at the end. But it was about an hour and a half of Randy Pitchford doing close-up magic.
Yeah.
With a disinterested audience. Yeah, so clearly a plant. And it was so awkward. And every time they tried to play a trailer, it stuttered like crazy. I think we suffered because it was during work hours, wasn't it? So we suffered
all the way through
till the end. And then as soon as they started playing the Borderlands 3 trailer, a game that I've been waiting for like 8 years at that point, I think I said to you, I'm going to go home now because it was past 5:30 and I'm just going to watch this trailer when they upload it because I'm not sitting here waiting
stuttering
for this awful presentation to go any further.
My one, one of my main memories of that is I think when they first started having issues because they were using Windows Media Player, there was like one guy in the audience who went, VLC! I'm like, yeah, come on.
Oh, rubbish.
So yeah, Gearbox, just don't do them. It's just not needed.
Oh, one thing we should actually mention before I actually give my proper answer is that Final Fantasy VII, there was the 25th anniversary stream last week where they announced the remake part two called Rebirth, confirming that they are further diverging from the original storyline, which is exciting, and a remaster of Crisis Core and a couple of mobile games and stuff. It was quite a short presentation.
It's like 15 minutes.
It had a lot of stuff in it, which was really nice. But again, they had really bad performance issues where clearly it was pre-recorded. But on all of the VODs that I've been able to find, it's either without subtitles or it's really stuttering. So all the big outlets that restreamed it, really.
Yeah, well, I think I watched that, like, Square Enix's actual feed, though.
Interesting, because I watched it through IGN after the fact, and it stuttered in loads of really key places. Like, the audio kept going, and the stream was playing fine. Like,
oh, I didn't remember having that
but
issue.
Clearly, whatever the source was really having a lot of problems. Mm. And then people were saying, oh, it's the same on GameSpots or something. So I don't know.
Maybe it was a restream issue.
Anyway, these tech issues do happen. My answer is from E3 last year, Bandai Namco's E3 stream, which we were debating covering. We decided ultimately not to because it was really late. And I thought, I'll stay up and watch this. And then it was just the executive producer answering questions about House of Ashes for 15 minutes. And it was really weird. And initially it was hyped up as Bandai Namco's E3 presentation. And then it was, when I was searching to remind myself of this, there were news stories that had headlines like Bandai Namco's E3 presentation might just be House of Ashes. And then everyone tuned in. It was just a man talking about House of Ashes.
That's right.
No new gameplay or trailers or anything, just the executive producer having a sit-down chat about House of Ashes. It was really weird. It's another problem with setting, you know, expectations and hype and all that kind of stuff, because I think a lot of people went into that expecting more, and that was it. That was a bad presentation. Shouldn't do that.
When I got home last night, my partner was listening to she listens to true crime podcasts and like unexplained
mystery.
She's a white woman. And like unexplained mystery podcasts. And she was listening to this guy talk about one of the biggest unexplained mysteries at sea, about a ship called the Man of Medan. And I was like, what? Was that based on a real ghost story? I thought it was completely
made up.
But seemingly it's like an infamous kind of nautical event that happened. So that was news to me.
It had ghost hands in it.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, I've heard of that. I didn't realize it was based on a sort of a story. I don't know how true the story is.
She made her turn it off and recounted the entire story of Man of Medan.
Yeah.
I was there. Yeah. I can tell you
what happened.
There was a ghost
boy or girl.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, there was some stink gas.
Some pirates.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was what it was. Yeah, the pirates were weird.
Yeah.
Our game was really strange. Well, there we are. That's that. It's time to move on to something a little bit bizarre, a little bit strange, a little bit weird. It's called
Weird News.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, if you want to submit weird news to us, make sure you comment on the socials posts that go out on Facebook and Twitter, apart from this week when the bot didn't work.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. We've sourced our own weird news instead. But do keep an eye out because we do usually ask for weird news on Facebook and Twimter. Peter.
Yeah.
Before we get to your news, we need to talk about the podcast producers.
Yes.
If you go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and support us at a certain tier, you too can become a podcast producer and sponsor Weird News. We give you a shout out right here. Who we got,
Peter?
Right
here, right now.
Nathan.
G.Y. Goliath.
Sean Legg.
Corey Duffel.
Janet Wicks.
Wicks. Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonet.
Katie Jarrod.
And Gabrielle Philippink.
Thank you so much, podcast producers.
Thank you.
We appreciate you very, very much indeed. Patreon.com/teamtriplejump.
Yes.
So
you going to say Peter again?
Peter?
Yes.
What's your weird news?
Oh, I've got a weird news
that
was actually submitted by somebody.
Oh, yeah.
A boy by the name of Kieran.
A boy?
From the office. Our office.
From our office.
I see.
Who shared an article on our Slack group.
Mm.
So that's where I saw it. I'd seen something, the prequel to this story a couple of weeks ago, but now it's gone to a whole new level. This is Kotaku.com under their odds and ends section.
Best section.
Written by Jeremy Winslow, who says, Doom modder ports game to, checks notes, a Lego brick.
Excellent.
Yes.
Subtitle, the Lego company should add id Software's rip and tear to its list of slogans. It's a strange thing to say.
Mm.
Right. OG Doom is everywhere at this point. It's on consoles and phones and computers. Someone's put it on a rotary phone and a calculator. I mean, geez, you can even play it on Twitter now. Didn't know that.
And the pregnancy test is probably the weirdest one.
Yeah. But in case you thought Doom folks ran out of ways to play Doom, guess again. It turns out there are still plenty of creative methods to rip and tear through id Software's FPS, including a, Lego brick. Yeah, you read that right. A New Zealand maker named James Ancient_James Brown has rigged the teeniest, tiniest monitor possible into a 3D printed blue Lego brick to run 1993's iconic shooter Doom via an off-screen PC. So it's a bit of a misleading headline.
Yes.
It says...
Lego Brick doesn't run Doom.
No, it doesn't. But that's quite often...
Yeah.
That happens with some of the other Doom now runs on a whatever. Like, it's not actually running on the thing. It's just being displayed. But still. So where was I? Off-screen PC. It's awfully small, which does make it adorably cute, but probably a pain in the ass to play. Brown, an animatronics and graphics programmer who posts his creations on sites like Mastodon and Twitter, and is totally not the deceased funk musician, began a thread on June the 6th showing his Lego Brick gaming monitor. So this is what I saw. The blue piece holds a small-ass STM32F030F4P6 circuit board with an ARM Cortex M0 processor, 16K flash memory, and 4K RAM. The screen is the cherry on top, though. It's a 0.42-inch 72x40 pixel resolution OLED display.
72x40. You got that 40p, son.
Yeah. What? This is barely... Oh, what? I don't understand the tone of this what. What? This is barely big enough to see what's happening. I'm imagining a lot of accidental deaths.
Ugh.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like how this one's written.
When reached for comment via Twitter DMs, Brown explained to Kotaku that the Lego Brick is basically just an external monitor with a PC streaming Doom somewhere off screen via a little Python script doing the dithering and resizing. The micro... Oh, I'm sort of bored at this point. There's a lot of... Oh, my God.
A lot of fluff.
I'm not even halfway through. There's just a lot of filler. But basically, I saw this guy post the brick, and all it was doing was showing, like, lines of text loop through, and he'd, like, added it to a little Lego scene, and next to it, he had the Lego monitor brick where it's just got printed onto it, like, some text.
Right.
And it was, like, a side-by-side. It's like, look, I've, like, animated the text now. We're, like, using a tiny monitor. But now you can play Doom.
Play Doom on it, kind
via
of.
The yes. monitor. Yeah. Interesting. Thanks, Kieran.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks, Kieran. I have some news. It's under the news section on Kotaku, written by Ian Walker. Mario movie producer says Chris Pratt won't offend Italians. Completely missing the point. Charles Martinet was right there, and unlike Pratt, everyone loves him. Illumination CEO Chris Meledandri is apparently under the assumption that his studio is being criticised for casting Chris Pratt as the eponymous plumber in its upcoming Mario movie due to its concerns over Italian representation and not because, you know, Chris Pratt sucks. When people hear Chris Pratt's performance, the criticism will evaporate, maybe not in... The criticism will evaporate, comma, maybe not entirely... Meledandri told Deadline.
What?
People
so,
love,
hang on.
He
the
said,
criticism
will
evaporate,
maybe
not
entirely.
So it won't evaporate.
So not all of it will evaporate.
Well, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense.
That is my favorite
Why is
line.
There just a comma there as well?
I don't know. He
maybe
must
he
have
said
paused
comma.
For thought. Yeah.
Comma.
People love to voice opinions. This is a quote from him. People love to voice opinions, as they should. I'm not sure this is the smartest... Oh, is that the end? Oh, no. Where's the end of it? Okay.
Full stop.
I'm not sure this is the smartest defense, but as a person who has Italian-American heritage, I feel I can make the decision without worrying about offending Italians or Italian-Americans. I think we're going to be just fine. Meledandri, who was the producer of the animated film alongside Super Mario Bros. What? Great. What? That's the full stop. No, that's the full sentence. Meledandri, who is also a producer on the animated film alongside Super Mario Bros.
Oh, who was it? Does it say?
Who is full who
stop?
Is also full stop?
Oh no, I see why. Yeah,
creator Shigeru Miyamoto.
No, Ashton.
I'm confused.
I'm not now. I was at first because I.
Can you explain this sentence to me? Because I know you're laughing at me, but I don't.
No,
understand
I'm
why.
Just. I don't understand.
No,
either.
I understand I'm, it. It's because Bros has a full stop after it.
But it does.
It's...
But this. Oh, I see.
Oh. Okay. So the truncated form of Brothers.
Yeah.
Bros has a full
right.
stop. Right.
Okay.
I didn't get it at first.
I didn't.
And then I got it after we'd
I
already...
I was confused.
Yeah.
Creator Shigeru Miyamoto went on to say the project is the fulfillment... I know I said it wrong. I know I said it wrong as soon as I said it, but look. Just can I carry on?
Yes, please. Don't stop.
The fulfillment of a really important enter the project is the fulfillment of a really important objective, and the relationship between Illumination and Nintendo is unprecedented in its closeness. These comments mean practically nothing, but it's fun to pretend.
It doesn't do, they don't mean anything.
They're insightful glimpses into the creative process. There was another bit that made me laugh later on. Okay. The as of yet unnamed Mario movie garnered both bemusement and criticism when the voice talent was announced during Nintendo Direct presentation last year. While on some level folks understood getting Jack Black to play Bowser and Seth Rogen for Donkey Kong, it was the film's casting of Pratt as the titular hero specifically that turned heads. Some joked that having such a boring everyman in the role erased Mario's Italian heritage. I guess Melodandri took that to heart. It should also be noted that Charles Marinet, the official voice of Mario since 1990, also isn't Italian. In fact, Marinet's oft-repeated origin story involved the actor riffing about spaghetti and meatballs in a stereotypical Italian voice during his audition for a half hour before landing the job. And then he basically just talks about Chris Pratt again being... with that in mind, it's probably safe to say the pushback to Pratt's casting largely isn't about Italian or Italian-American representation, at least outside the already poisoned halls of Twitter. No, it's more the matter of, as I said before, Pratt just plain sucking.
But he's so cool.
And then he talks about, and just goes on for a long time.
Why didn't they cast Martinet though? That's the question.
I don't needed a big name.
Because Mario's going to be doing full sentences, and I assume they didn't.
yeah, I guess.
I love
so.
You, Peach. But I just wanted to feel something.
Is Chris Pratt gonna do a kind of falsetto voice?
But remember, all the criticism's going to evaporate
because maybe not all of it.
Yeah, or is it going to be like the animated show where it's. Or, you know, the who voiced him in that? I can't remember. But yeah. Well, there's been a couple of things where he's been voiced by someone who did not do a voice like that at all.
Mm.
All toasters toast. Yeah, they sure do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see what he sounds like.
It's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Not necessarily his voice, but that will overshadow anything else that the movie does right.
Mm.
I think it's just going to be a bad film.
Yeah.
There's no way it can be good.
So that was the end of my really well done reading of my
Are you okay, Ashton?
Yeah, fine.
You just take a minute.
I'm just putting my hair up because I got a bit stressed. So.
Okay. That's all right. My news is from PC Gamer.
Right.
From Jonathan Boulding, who isn't Boulding.
Well, you don't know that.
Yeah, I know that.
In his photo, I think he's got hair.
Could be an old photo.
Yeah.
Could be a wig.
Could be a wig.
Jonathan's Boulding, which seems very cruel on the fact part of PC Gamer to give his... Anyway, the headline is all that chanting in the Elden Ring soundtrack is gibberish.
Right.
Okay. I know. We obviously know of the gibbering in the Elden Ring soundtrack.
Of course you do. You know, the orchestra, you know, the chanting and the...
Oh, yeah.
It's quite often gibberish and things like that.
Mm. But do you want to know? Do you want to know any more, or should I just stop?
Tell me about the gibberish.
Playing Elden Ring, you might be forgiven for thinking, wow, some of these soundtracks have super cool chanting. I bet that's some amazing Latin or some other ancient dead language and the meaning really adds to what's going on. You'd be wrong, however, as one student of languages has discovered. It's just gibberish manipulated to sound like real words, in an ancient tongue.
How do they know? Do they speak every language?
They speak gibberish. A dedicated Elden Ring fan who goes by Magister Organi on Reddit and... Do we really need to know all of his aliases? Has spent more than a little time tracking down information on the Elden Ring soundtrack bits that sound like Latin. After speaking to some people involved in their creation, Master Origani, I'm not going to call him that, just call him Jeff, has confirmed that he doesn't have a real name listed, that they're nonsense syllables. The composers and other music producers used phrase builders and vocal libraries to create most of the song lyrics of Elden Ring. Then the lyrics were later revised in order to look like Latin in several songs. Finally, last-minute changes were made in the recording process to facilitate the choir singing, says Jeff in a video.
Lorem ipsum! That's basically what they're doing.
And then this is what PC Gamer's website looks like.
It's just a white page as you scroll and scroll.
Do you reckon there's going to be any more text? Or has it decided that that's the end of the article? I suppose it has.
Duel of the Fates is like an ancient Welsh poem translated into Sanskrit and then just random phrases from that have been taken and reordered.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not gibberish. I mean, Sanskrit is obviously a real language, but if you were to translate it back into English, it would just make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
But I like the fact that they're like, this is that big news, as if we haven't been listening to Simlish music in every episode, every time we've played Sims.
Mm-hmm. So the rest of that article didn't load. There was a bit in there about how the creepy singing that the harpy creatures do is actual Latin.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That they are actually singing something, but the rest of it is absolute nonsense.
Mm. Right.
Which makes sense, because can you imagine writing some sort of Latin operatic theme, dozens of them for all the boss fights and everything, and have them make sense?
Yeah.
And tell a story.
And then have fans kind of over...
analyze it, make 12 billion lore videos about it. Yeah, it'd be stupid. So that's my weird news. Cheers, PC Gamer, for having a good website.
Fantastic.
That guy who's been spending like loads of time on a video where he's like, unpacking the Elden Ring music is now going to be really disappointed when he reads that article.
Oh, man, it's gibberish. God damn it, Jeff.
Now I have to go outside.
Jeff. Flipping Jeff. Let's have another question. Speaking of Jeffs.
It's from Fergus Jeffs.
Yeah.
Two Jeffs.
What a world.
Yeah. Hello, banana, apple, and pear, or BAP, if you would prefer. There you go. That's us. That's fruit.
I actually prefer that, yeah.
Yeah. Are there any features from some of your favorite video games that you find particularly irksome, especially whenever you go back and replay them? As we know, there's no such thing as a perfect game, and even our favorite titles will include glitches or mechanics that we can dislike or find annoying, even if it doesn't affect our overall love for the game. Intrigued to find out your responses.
Keys, keys.
Keith.
Thank you, Fergus Jeffs.
Mr. Jeffs.
Although I'm very much used to it, and it, in some ways it doesn't bother me at all, I am aware that the movement controls in Resident Evil 4 are not great. Mm. And I think when I play the remake, which will have updated movement controls, I'm sure, if I ever go back then to play the original, I'll probably go, oh, wow, yeah, it's tank controls, basically. You can go forwards and backwards, and you can...
We just flickered in a load of different colours there.
Yeah, we did have some interesting flickerings there on the,
video.
On the screen. But it's still
keep
still
an eye
catching.
On that. Do continue, Peter.
Out of focus now.
No, I think we're okay. You got your glasses on?
yeah, no. I thought I saw it go like that, like go out of focus and then
we'll
back
keep,
in.
We'll keep an eye on it.
We will. Also, not necessarily one of my favourite games, but I think a classic series, Tomb Raider. The original trilogy, wow. Again, tank controls and worse. I mean, not just tank controls, but kind of in terms of the movement.
Always wanted to play those games. Couldn't even get into them sort of around the time because of the controls.
Yeah.
They were just so alien. They just didn't translate into my head. You know, like when you give someone a controller for the first time and say, here, play Call of Duty. And they're like, how do I move and look at the, like, their brain just doesn't connect. Mm-hmm. That was me with Tomb Raider.
Right.
It just, having to rotate on the spot and then jump towards that didn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
And then I would also say that Spyro 1 and Crash 1, it's all my answers are movement related, but they both just kind of, they feel old, and they feel a lot older than the second and third in their respective trilogies. I think you play the first two, the first games of both of those trilogies, and you just kind of think, wow, they really stepped it up from two onwards. So mine are all movement, actually. I didn't really think outside the box, but what have you got, Ashton?
Well, Peter, I, having been playing Tiny Tina and then like popping back and forth recently for Borderlands 2 and 3, I find the not being able to just mark things as junk when you pick them up really annoying, because the amount of loot you were picking up in specifically Borderlands 3 is where it was definitely the worst, because that has the most loot out of any of the games. It was just constantly picking stuff up. But not being able to immediately, like as you pick it up, just mark it as junk. So when you go to the vending machine, you can just bung it all in the vending machine. Was kind of annoying, because you have to go through and like tap the stick down to like mark everything as junk, and you have to, if you double tap it, then you've starred it and you can't sell it, and that's annoying. But that was always one of the things that irked me, because of how much you have to pick up and how much inventory admin you have to do in order just to sell stuff. Also, I really find it annoying, but I think if it didn't happen, I'd be more confused, when a game will auto-select the main mission after you've done anything in
so
the game.
So Borderlands again.
yeah, but I was thinking more about Cyberpunk this time.
Oh, does that do that too?
Where, like, you finish, even, like, a little minor event that you pass, like, in Cyberpunk, if you find, like, a little police NCPD, like, thingy, you can do that, and then it'll be like, well, you were doing this other mission that you'd selected, but because you've just got sidetracked, now we've put you back onto the main mission. So the amount of times I've been like, well, I've done that now, I guess I'll keep following the waypoint, and then only realize when I've almost got to the waypoint, now I'm like, I've overshot where I need to go because it's auto-selected the main mission again. But I know that if it didn't do that, I would probably like end up being a bit confused. I have to keep going back into my menu and selecting another mission, but I have to do that anyway. But that annoys me because it does it in a lot of games. I think it did it in Horizon as well and stuff. So I understand why they do it. It just annoys me that they do.
It's annoying.
It is annoying. Those are the things I could think of.
I am twisting the question slightly because it's not so much a feature as it is a concept, in that whenever I go back and play an older game that I'm a big fan of, usually preceding that, I get really excited. Like, oh, I could replay that. Oh, I'd love to replay that. Oh, what if I replayed, if it's a like Borderlands, for example, what if I play it through with someone who's never played it through before, or who hasn't played it through for a while either, and we can just play through the Borderlands games? That sounds so much fun. I can't wait to do that. And I get all hyped up in my head. Like, I replayed a few games last year, I think, in the year before during lockdown, various lockdowns, the Bioshock games and the Batman Arkham games and stuff. And it's always the starting the game that's the most exciting part. And then when I get 5 or 6 hours in, it's not that it's a chore, but definitely the allure has worn off, where I start to think, I'm not as excited to replay this game anymore.
Yeah.
I'm still going to finish it.
Because it's no longer been a long time since you played
it. Yeah, I'm playing it.
Yeah.
And we've spoken a lot on this podcast about how the anticipation of playing something, whether it's going back and playing something old or looking forward to a new game, is almost as exciting as actually playing the game, because then you don't have anything to look forward to anymore because it's gone. But that's the nature of life, I suppose, as well.
I remember
things and then they're gone.
I remember quite vividly on many occasions being at school in like the third lesson of the day and thinking, oh, when I get back tonight, I could play, whether it was like an old game to replay or whatever I was currently playing at the time, like, I can play that game. And it seemed like such an appealing thing. And then you get home and I might still have played it, or I just might not. And that kind of says it all, that like when you're sitting there and, you know, you don't have it in front of you and you're like, oh, that would be great. There's something to be said about that, like compared to actually just sitting there and having it available and being in the middle of playing it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just this, it's annoying. And it's a shame. I used to go on holiday with my family when I was younger and be away from my console for like a week or so. And then I'd buy games while I was away that would be waiting for me when I got back, like an old game, like Oblivion that I'd sold so I could buy a new game or whatever. And I'd get really excited about playing Oblivion. I'd get back, play Oblivion for 2 hours, and then that would be it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done now. So that's my slightly strange answer.
I actually also have another one I've been saying that I've thought about. That, again, isn't actually a feature in a game, but is something that happens while gaming that annoys me. It's frozen.
Oh.
I was going to say the light.
If you deactivate and activate it, will it just fix itself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't need to get up. It's
okay.
Fun.
It's an OBS thing. So this isn't necessarily about a game in itself. It's more about playing a game with people. And I mean one specific person here, because I'm gonna call him out. I love my boyfriend more than anything in the world. I would literally kill for him. However,
not die for
this
I
man.
Believe that you I would kill as well.
If this man, I don't know if other people do this as well or if it's just a him thing, never ever checks his quest log or his map when he's playing with me. It's always my job. I'm like his little in-game PA and I have to figure out where we're going and what we're doing. And then every time I'd be like, so what are we doing in this quest? And I'm like, open your quest log, man. And it drives me actually like
sounds
almost
like a,
feral.
Sounds like a him problem.
It literally is. But I don't know if anyone else does this when they're playing a game with someone else. But if you do, stop doing it. Because it annoys me. I'm not your PA, Ben. I know you're watching this. I'm not your PA. Open your goddamn map and figure out where you're going yourself.
I'm feeling
this is the first time he's heard this.
No, I tell him about it all the time.
Okay.
I feel as though the fact that I've not experienced that and been on the receiving end, maybe I'm the person
maybe
who is doing
it.
Oh, yeah. If you don't know anyone that does it, you're the person who's doing it.
But I'm like, just open the quest log, man. Just look for yourself. It's not that hard.
So that's something that Ashton doesn't like in when replaying old games. That's a feature Ashton doesn't like.
Well, he does it a lot with Borderlands. Like, he's like, well, what are we doing now? And I'm like,
I know about
as much as you do. I'm playing the game at the same time
as
you.
Press the button.
Press the button and look. Anyway, I've got that off my chest.
Are you feeling any better?
I actually am, yeah.
That's good.
I'm glad. That big outburst.
Yeah, thank you for letting me just do that.
That's all right.
Should we do a big...
We'll call it Ashton's Rant. You can do it every week.
Discussion.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big podcast discussion. This week it comes courtesy of Robert Mansell, who says, all read... Like lads and ladette. With all the hype around the Callisto Protocol and it being developed by at least some of the people responsible for Dead Space, it got me wondering about the power of a spiritual successor. Everyone always talks about remakes, remasters, and reboots, but what about spiritual successors? We know there are good ones, don't we? I'm sure you could list some yourselves. My question is, what dead franchise would you not revive, but instead use as a template to make something new? Similar style, similar gameplay. The world is your oyster. Much love, guys. And Guyette, Rob. Kiss, kiss.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Kiss, kiss.
I would quite like
it. You've got a lot of games that you loved that are dead, don't you?
Yeah, I have. But some of them I wouldn't give as an answer to this because I would rather they were...
Remade,
or a sequel was done, or they were even just remastered. Like, for example, there was one that I thought, oh yeah, like Dino Crisis. You know, I talk about Jurassic Park in the first question. I wouldn't want a Dino Crisis spiritual successor.
You don't like the dinosaur game that they're currently making?
Yeah,
Prime, Alto, Prime, something.
No, I don't.
I'll find out.
That's not even a spiritual successor. But yeah, like I would quite happily just have a Dino Crisis remake in kind of Resident Evil style. We know Capcom is very capable of doing really good remakes, so I wouldn't choose that for spiritual successor as an example. But yes, we're seeing more flickers on our screen. Will we make it to the end of this recording? There are a lot of games that are dead that I like, but in terms of spiritual successors, I would quite like... And this would never happen because it's an active series, but I would like a spiritual successor to Kingdom Hearts because, as the question says, I like the concept. I like the whole idea of it. I like that they've got like a whole Disney world together and I suppose Final Fantasy. I'm not that bothered. But it's just complicated. Just like, what I'm saying is I just want a reboot where I can go in and it's just Kingdom Hearts 1, but... Not the actual Kingdom Hearts 1, but like a new one. It's Kingdom Hearts rebooted. And I don't have to worry about any of the, you know, the lore.
Guff.
All the guff, yeah. Mm. So maybe that's just more of a reboot example.
Did you find out the name of the game?
Exo Primal.
We can't wait for
terrible
it.
Terrible name.
Here's a weird one. Very deep cut. Very strange choice. Clay Fighter.
Okay.
Right? Which was a one-on-one fighting game, but everything was claymation. And I think if that was made nowadays with modern visuals, because although it was claymation, it was still, they'd then just like, you know, turn them into sprites and put them into a game. And so it didn't look that claymation-y. But if there were some clay fighting games nowadays, I think they'd be great. So it's a strange choice, but it came to mind. I don't like saying the same things as well, because I could say, you know, some of the answers I always give, but I thought I'd go for a weird one. And then here's one as well. Skies of Arcadia. You guys aware of that game?
Mm-hmm.
It's a PS1 game. It's kind of a cult classic, really. It's actually, I think it's a JRPG. I've never played it, but I really like it aesthetically. So it's certainly an RPG, I think a JRPG, and it's set on these floating islands and you have like sky pirate ships and you're like flying around and stuff and you just go on like a lovely adventure. All the art is kind of a little bit anime.
Mm.
And it's one of the games that comes up when people say it's such a shame that that is just a dead game. Like the first one came out, it was great. And then nothing's
ever happened.
Dead game.
Skip.
I believe the characters made it into like, as like, they were like guest characters in like later sort of maybe fighting games or something. I don't quite know exactly how it went, but I've quite recently been really interested in Skies of Arcadia, and I've been thinking of getting it and playing it because I've been reading about it and stuff and watching videos. So I want to give the first one a go, but also from what I've seen of it already, it needs to come back in some way. And the IP is probably still owned by someone. So just do a spiritual successor.
It's as simple as that.
Mm. Just do it.
Just do a spiritual successor. Just do it. Idiots.
Ashton.
So one of my answers isn't a dead franchise. It's actually quite a popular franchise that everyone still plays. But I think they've lost their way a bit. And I think that we could just bring it back to how it was in the good old days.
Kingdom Hearts?
No, the OG Assassin's Creed games. Mm. I think it would be great if we could get a game that was made like those games and not the absolutely massive, and some would say unnecessarily big, Assassin's Creed games we currently have out. I just think it would be nice to have a game like the original Assassin's Creed, because they are widely regarded as like the best Assassin's Creed games, mm-hmm. story-wise. And I think that it would be nice to have a game like that that wasn't Ubisoft up.
An Ubi World.
Ubisofted
to
hell.
The max.
Yeah. Also, and I know we're getting a remake of this game, but I think it would be very nice to have a KOTOR, like, spiritual successor, given how much more Star Wars there is now and how much more kind of, how many more stories there are to explore and investigate and you know.
The so you mean it's still within the Star Wars world, but just maybe the team starting you.
And like, everyone loves KOTOR and they love how it played and the story and how, like, and KOTOR 2, after we did the Quipscope, I saw my boyfriend and he spoke at me for about 10 minutes about KOTOR 2 and how good it was actually. So I know that they're really good, and I think obviously the remake's going to be really exciting to play, and I'm really excited for it. But it would be great to see some other stories in the style of the KOTOR games, because people love those bad boys, and I would like to play them like that.
They love those bad boys.
They love those bad boys. So those are my answers. One isn't a dead game, and one's getting a remake. But I thought, meh.
What are you going to do?
Your life.
Yeah.
You can't stop me. What are you going to do? Shoot me? I'm like a whippet.
What does that mean?
It's a Louis Spence quote.
Oh.
He says, well, they can't stop me. What are they going to do? Shoot me? They'll have to catch me first. I'm like a whippet, as he runs across the roof of Pineapple Dance Studios.
He probably is. Okay. I can imagine he would be hard to shoot.
Yeah.
Louis Spence.
Couldn't shoot that man. He's the incredibly
no longer
camp,
relevant.
He was a dance like
oh,
guy.
Okay. I think, so yeah, did he used to bald. Be on Radio 1 quite a lot when he was... Mm.
He may have been, I don't
like
know.
On with like, yeah.
Scott Mills and
Scott
that.
Mills
yeah,
or whatever,
entirely
yeah.
possible that... Yeah, okay.
Ben, what like do you think it. Should like have a spiritual it. Successor? Maybe Pineapple Dance Studio.
Yeah. Pineapple Dance, yes, that whatever that is. I have a couple, one of which, again, isn't a dead game, but probably should have been
dead
after
game.
What happened to it. Mass Effect.
Mm.
Why do we not have more big space opera RPGs, please? And why do the ones that we do get, they're either tiny little indie things, which isn't a problem, but isn't necessarily what I want, or they're bad. We've had The Outer Worlds, which was really good, and I really liked that a lot, but it wasn't quite the same as Mass Effect was. Why hasn't a studio taken a stab at this?
Hey.
Why? Yes, hello.
We've got Starfield to look forward to.
We've got Starfield to look forward to. That's very true. But also, that's not really going to be Mass Effect.
No.
That's going to be Skyrim in space, which is different. I want something like Mass Effect. You know, Sony, you got the money. You know, you got Guerrilla. They've been making RPGs for a few years now. Get them on a space opera.
Do it.
Mm. Make them do a space opera, please. That's what I would like. So that, ideally. Why do we not have more of that?
Mm.
Why is it all cyberpunks? Mm? Everything. The other one, which is an actual dead game, but isn't really, because we know that they're going to work on a new one, apparently, according to Embracer. That's Time Splitters.
I nearly said Time Splitters, yeah.
I also
but
nearly
I didn't
put it down.
Because they're hopefully going to work on a new one.
Yeah, hopefully. Same humor, the crazy characters, the time-hopping story, the health at the side of the screens. I'm very surprised that the X-Free Radical developers didn't go and do what the developers, what X-Rare developers did with Ukulele, which is start sort of a Kickstarter and get people involved. In fact, I'm not sure, was Ukulele on Kickstarter? I feel like it was.
Yeah,
but I can't.
I think so. Or something was on, I think it was crowdfunded, yeah.
Yeah, they went and founded Playtonic and then they did some crowdfunding and then they launched Ukulele, which wasn't for everyone, but you know, we got a brilliant Simon Miller quote out of it, which is, which is.
It's all you can ask for. Really.
Which is great.
Ukulele.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that Ukulele feels.
Why didn't the Free Radical guys go and start their own studio and do something similar? Well, I understand why, because it's a huge risk. But at the same time, I'm surprised that there isn't something similar to Time Splitters out there now. Because I'm not saying that I would have crowdfunded it or supported it, because honestly, it probably would maybe have been a bit rubbish, because I don't know how a new Time Splitters is going to work in 2022.
Yeah.
I don't know if the one they're making is going to be any good at all. THQ Nordic / Embracer Group haven't made anything good so far, in my opinion. So I'm not confident that this reboot / remake will be any good. But it's still something I'd like to see, because I feel like there's a gap in the market for it. Just a frenetic shooter.
I really hope that if they do make one, it's not kind of photorealistic. I hope they sort of stylize it, because it's difficult to say whether the old games, although in terms of the shapes of people, there was definitely some stylization going on. But when you go that far back graphically, you could make the argument that no, they were trying to make it look like real. That's just all they could do. You know, everything was a bit blocky and stuff. Yeah, well, not even a bad job, but you know, that's just kind of the limitations of the time. Mm. Whereas now, a decision has to be made whether they make it look like sort of realistic, or whether they go kind of, I don't know, like a bit Overwatchy with it or something like that.
Yeah.
And I would honestly, I think I would rather have like something slightly, a little bit cartoony, or even something not quite like Borderlands with the inking and cel shading. But you know, I think it would probably benefit from not being just an actual kind of realistic looking game.
Yeah. The environments always looked really good. I'd say they were aiming for photorealism with the environments, but the character models, yeah, they were absolutely, you know, they had big, long, gangly arms and stuff. Like, it was great.
Even just the colors and textures, like, you know, I like the block colors and stuff that they used.
It doesn't look horrible now.
No.
Still, you know, I played a bit of it last year and we streamed it. I know half the walls didn't load in because we were emulating it and it went wrong. But it, you know, it doesn't look horrible now. So who knows? We'll see what this remake produces, or whatever the hell it is they're doing there.
Did we just stop playing that eventually? Because it was.
I feel like we finished it.
Did we?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, we did. We got pretty far and probably finished it, because I remember fighting the boss who kept going.
Yes, yeah.
And we kept doing an impression of him. So
yeah. That sounds like us. So there we are. Which spiritual successors would you like to see from franchises that are dead, or that you think perhaps there should be, well, what am I trying to say? Or clones of? Not really clones, but there should be more like them.
The studio should get together, make the game again, but just legally different.
Yes.
So there's variety in that space. Let us know what you think in the comments below, and of course about all the things we've discussed today. Peter is going to tell you where you can find us around the internet.
Hello,
Peter.
Twitch.com and YouTube.com and twitch.tv/ Team Triple Jump, where all of our videos and live streams go out. We stream on both. When you're, if you've got Amazon Prime, part of that is a free Twitch sub. It's just part of the bundle. So you can spend that on us if you like, at no extra cost. When we are streaming on both YouTube and Twitch, we are modded by Lord Brotovich, Trialing Badger, and Mr. Black. So thanks, mods, for that. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/ Team Triple Jump for video and live stream announcements, old video content, interesting bits and bobs and posts for questions and loads of things. Thank you, Fraser, for looking after Twitter and Facebook for us. And also for looking after TikTok.com/ at Team Triple Jump. Ashton and I are about to record a TikTok after this. So the stuff is going out on there still. Go and have a look and follow us. And finally from me, patreon.com/ Team Triple Jump. Go and have a look at all of our different tiers. There are loads of them, and some of them are podcast relevant. So you can ask questions here and be a producer and so on. So go and have a look if you like.
We have a website. It's triplej.map. That's JJU.mp. It spells jump, and it's really clever. If you want to join our Discord, why not go to JJU.mp/Discord to chat with our wonderful community. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes, and if they tell you to do something, bloody well do it. If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio forms, maybe you're going on a summer party with your colleagues and you haven't got anything to talk about.
Friends and colleagues.
No, just friends.
Friends and colleagues. And you want to listen to something without having to talk to them, why not go to triplejet.map/podcast. If you want to watch any of our live stream VODs, go to triplejet.map/VODs. If you want to check out us on Cameo and order any of us to your James Jenkins on Cameo, why not go to triplejet.map/Cameo. And last but not least, if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, why not go to triplejumpshop.com or follow Triple Jump Shop on Twitter. There's
can't,
a new
can't buy this there.
The Japanese shirt.
Can't buy both of these.
Yeah.
And there's a new shirt coming really soon for a limited time.
Where can I buy your shirt, Ashton? I want one of those.
I think it was from H&M.
Did you half shirt it yourself?
No, I was given this as a Christmas present by my friend and colleague from my previous job.
Friend and colleague.
So you can be friends and colleagues.
Yeah.
Imagine if someone...
Technically, you are my colleague, but you are also my friend. Like, it's not mutually exclusive. Like, once you become friends, we then don't, you know, we're not no longer colleagues.
I don't know, I just feel like we're all friends.
I was just thinking about what you were saying. Imagine if someone in your caravan doesn't want to talk to the two of you, and so their alternative is to put on a podcast where you two are talking in their ear. That would be...
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
It could happen.
It would be weird.
We'll find out next week. We'll let you know how it goes. If you want to follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter, why not do so? @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton and myself just on Twitter @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday being the solo streams on Twitch. No solo stream from James Jenkins this week because we are at the summer party. Not going to be there. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday. We do shows all the flipping time. Where have you been? Pay attention. Come on down to the YouTube channel. Why not leave a review on iTunes or your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. This week is a Worst Games Ever week, isn't it, Peter?
It is. It is a good one. You should watch it. It is Open Season, which I just completely passed me by.
Ashton had as a child, apparently.
I did have this one as a child.
You've had
on the Wii?
An upsettingly high number of the games.
I had a lot of crappy Wii games. If it was a Wii game and it's bad, I probably had it because it was probably cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably.
Yeah. My parents probably got it for me.
And the only other thing happening this week of note, apart from obviously all the lists and the podcasts and the streams and all the amazing stuff we do each and every week, is that the fact that this is a summer party and we're going to get absolutely wasted in a field.
I might be on my Instagram story, so if you're following, it might still be on there by the time the podcast goes out.
Yeah.
So
go see all
I won't film anyone without
the
scandalous
consent, happenings.
You might see me drunk at least, so.
Yeah. Go like follow that. People. Yeah. Go follow the account. We'll probably tweet a photo of all of us out there getting pissed in a field or something. Peter?
Yeah?
What's the sponsor again, please?
It's launched today at time of recording. It's been out for a while at time of release in the UK and Europe and Australia. The new PlayStation online service, mostly just Among Us content. PS Sus.
So sus.
PS Sus.
PS Sussy.
No, he did that already.
Yeah, no, I was just... reminding everyone.
Did you just try and take his joke?
No, because
did
it's already happened.
Oh my god!
We
did
already,
you just try?
It's already
and
been on the
joke
recording.
Claim.
No.
Okay.
I didn't say I'm.
thank you so much for listening/watching, everybody. We'll see. I won't be here next week. Yes, I will.
Yes,
we're recording
you will.
On Wednesday.
We're recording Wednesday.
I'm going on holiday next week for some plops, some Euro plops. Mm. Ashton had her turn. Now it's my turn.
Yeah.
See you next week, everybody. Look after yourselves.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.